One of the standard questions that most priests get is, would you rather do a funeral or a wedding? And I always answer, a funeral. Now, at first people might say, why? Because at a wedding, at a funeral, people are raw. People have experienced an aspect of the human condition where they have had someone ripped from their lives. And the finality of death begs for an explanation. And people are usually around asking the question, why, and what now, and what's the meaning of this? And those are religious questions. Those are the very questions that religion answers. What's the meaning of this? What's the purpose? Where is it all going? Weddings can be also equally as deep. But with weddings, you have to cut through so much of the romantic fluff that it's hard to get people to really think about what's happening. Everybody's worried about the bride's dress, and the groomsmen look this way, and oh, look at how they're dressed, and grandma or mom-in-law, we have to do it this way and that way. And when you try to talk about the meaning, because you've got to remember, that's my job. My job is to try to help people to deepen their understanding, the meaning of things that happen in life. That the meaning is far deeper than most people understand. And it's my job to make sure that people don't go away with a superficial understanding of the reality of what they're experiencing. And that's very hard to do in a wedding because of all the superficiality that goes along with it. Let me push back a little bit. I'm in a draft. Anyway, the reason I bring that up is because the one feast day that is, I think, the hardest to preach is Christmas. And very much for the same reason. Because Christmas is pretty much buried under all kinds of cultural fluff. And the meaning of what's happening in the historical event, if you believe it, is lost by Santa and baby Jesus, and it's Jesus' birthday, and I could go on and on, you know, some of the songs, and I like them. Please understand, there's nothing wrong with superficiality. It's when that's all there is, that's when there's something really wrong. So, in terms of my job tonight, is to try as best as I can, because remember, my mind is swimming and my sinuses are all clogged up and my thoughts are not transferring very well. But my job tonight is just to give you a quick reflection to make sure that you gain a little bit of appreciation of what's really going on in the feast of the incarnation. That's what it is. The feast of, I mean, you realize what we're saying tonight. We are saying that the God of this universe chose to enter human history as a baby. And he chose to enter as a baby in a family of a backwater Middle Eastern people 2,000 years ago. And that coming of God becoming human changed the entire history of the world. It's always kind of cute to me, cute in a sad sort of way, when I hear historians talk about, you know, we used to talk about this happened in X year AD or BC. You know, Anno Domini, the year of Christ, and BC before Christ. Now we use the CE, which is the Common Era, and the BCE, before the Common Era. But guess who's the dividing line? It's still the same dude. Still the same dude. I don't care what changes you make. So what's happening tonight is that we're trying to understand what's really occurring and what's this drama all about. Now, and some of you who've heard me before, I've been here for 18 years. If you've been coming to Mass and you've heard me, there's probably not a lot of examples that I'm going to use that I haven't used before. So, sorry. But one of my contentions is that you can't really understand what it means to be saved unless you are out of control. Like today in the gospel, in the responsorial, what was it? Today is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. I remember being in high school. I went to Catholic high school, and the nuns, I still remember sitting there as a sophomore and junior. And I still remember the nuns or the priest saying, "Jesus loves you." And I wouldn't say anything because, you know, the nuns could have a temper. And so, but in my head, I was thinking, well, bully for him. So does my mama. You know, Jesus loves me. Who cares? Or Jesus died to save you. I could never get that, you know? First of all, I didn't ask him to do that. And second of all, save me from what? I'm fine. What's this whole thing of needing a savior? And when I think back on it, it dawns on me that because I was 16 or 17, I had not yet understood the predicament that human beings are in. See, when you're young, you just sort of think that this is life, and it's going to continue this way. But the older you get, the more you understand that at the very core, that is an illusion. It's an illusion of safety and an illusion of comfort. You know, you got a home, you got a place where mom and dad give you a place, you got a decent job, got a great car, all this kind of stuff. Until something happens. I still remember as a little kid, I must have been maybe 9, 8. I would worry when my mom and dad wouldn't get home from work at the specific time they were supposed to be home. And the reason I would worry is because I knew that even though it wasn't likely, it was certainly possible that they had been killed. And I knew that at any given moment, anybody I love could be taken away from me within a flash. And you know what horrified me the most? That it doesn't occur like in the movies. You know, in the movies, when someone's going to die, the music kind of goes up, you know, and you get these sad violins and you're going, or, you know, somebody's going to get murdered, things are really tense and you're going, oh my God, here it comes. And the music's telling you that. It just amazes me that when horrible stuff happens, there's no score. There's no music. It was just another day like before. Nothing made it special. And there you are. Your whole life has changed. And not for the good. And so what I have came to understand slowly is that you don't understand the depth of what it means to be saved until you have in some way or another experienced mortal danger of some kind. I like to use the example, and a lot of people know this. I like to use the example of if you're swimming in a swimming pool and you're having a great time and the lifeguard jumps in and swims over to you and says, I'm here to save you. You look at the lifeguard and you go, oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. That's so nice of you. It's really so nice. I'm glad you're there. It makes me feel better. And then as the lifeguard swims back, you look at your friends and you say, I don't know what's going on with him. But I want you to imagine that 10 minutes later, you're alone. And all of a sudden, you're paralyzed. And you're paralyzed from the neck down. And you start to drown. And the same dude jumps in, swims over to you, and says, I'm here to save you. It's the same guy. It's the same message. But oh my God, is that good news or what? Because salvation or rescue makes no sense unless you've experienced being out of control. If you live with the experience of being in control, and that forms the background of your life, today is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. And inside I'm going, isn't that nice? Jesus is born. Yes. Yes. Isn't it wonderful? Until you figure it out. Until you figure out that, and this happened to me when I was in my 20s. Why do you think I wound up like this? But until you figure out that you're going to die. And it wasn't scheduled. Wasn't in my plans. And all of a sudden, you start looking around and saying, is there anybody up there that can rescue me? And that's when the message that all those nuns had given me over the years, all of a sudden, that message became crucial. And so what are we celebrating today? Today we are celebrating the fact that if you've lived on this earth any amount of time, you know that the world has periods of okayness, and your life has periods of okayness, but that they are punctuated with periods of tragedy and total chaos, and you don't know what the hell's going on, and you don't know when that's going to break into your life. You have no idea when that's going to break into your life. But here's the one thing I do guarantee you. It will. Sooner or later, it will. You may go to the doctor, and all of a sudden, you have a good friend of mine went to the doctor a couple weeks ago, found out they had cancer in the eye. Figure that out. Just went in for a routine eye exam. And you go on and on and on. And when you realize that we live under the illusion of being in control, and if there's nobody out there to rescue us, we are up SH space T creek without a paddle. We are up that creek without a paddle, because all you're doing is waiting. It's like, you know, being on the Titanic. You're just kind of waiting around for your cabin to go under. Okay. Is there a lifeboat? Is there a rescue? And what we're celebrating tonight is the fact that there is a rescue. The fact that this God who created us looked at us and how we had split off from him, because that's what happened. Okay? We split off from God. That's what the church calls original sin. And I know, it's Adam and Eve. No, Adam and Eve is just a story. Nobody really believes in Adam and Eve. It's a story. The word Adam means humankind, and Eve means mother of the living. And it's a story to tell you that God never meant it to be like this. He never meant it to be like this. And that literally, whether you know it or not, a good friend of mine the other day used the term, all hell has broken loose. And that is the human condition. Just pick up your newspaper. All hell's breaking loose. May not hit you yet. You know what came to my mind? Imagine a hose, a fireman's hose, that comes unhinged from the source of water. I mean, not from the source of water, but from the fireman's control. What does that hose do? Like that. Literally, all hell's broken loose because there's no control. It's going everywhere, and you don't know when it's going to hit you. And so somebody needs to reconnect us, because, you see, we're up the creek if we don't get reconnected with our Creator. If we don't get reconnected with the one who made us and the one who knows what we would be about, when what we should be about, you're going to live the whole of your life, and you're going to have some nice times. Yeah, go for it. Go for it. But sooner or later, trust me, it's going to fall apart. The only thing that ultimately makes it is if you're connected to the Creator. And what God has done tonight is, from the center somewhere in the cosmos, I don't know where, a hand has reached out, and God has become us. When you're looking at Jesus, what you're looking at is the only normal human being. The rest of us are screwed up. Okay? we only look normal because we're all screwed up, and we recognize that we're all screwed up, and so, hey, you look normal. Yeah, because everybody's blind in the same way. He's the only normal human being. It's kind of like God got to the point of saying, you know, y'all, I think God says y'all, but God said, y'all have screwed this up so badly that I really think I better go down there and live a human life so I can show you what I meant when I created you and what you can be if you're connected to me. And if you don't connect to me, you're up the creek and you're going to die and that's it. That's why this is good news. That's why this is good news. So God bless Santa. God bless all the presents you got. God bless the family meal. I don't deny any of that. Enjoy it. But God, don't stay there. God, don't stay there. This is about so much more. And if you don't get it yet, trust me, you will. Sooner or later, you're going to get it. Because as a good friend of mine says, last he checked, the death rate is holding steady at 100% in the human race. And there's going to come a day in which you're going to get it. And you're going to look up and say, is there anybody up there? And that's when this little story of these weird little three people walking down a mountain 2,000 years ago, only that happens to be the two people that God had chosen to become one of us and come to our rescue. That's Christmas. So, hey, that's it. I don't have anything else to say. Okay, and I got through it, and it wasn't a short homily.